I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280, The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Thanks for hanging out. Game 5 tonight of the Eastern Finals. Scott, who do you have? Celtics, Heat. That one's down in Miami. Tied up at two games apiece. These have been garbage games. Like, it's just like blowouts every game, it feels like.
Heat.
You're going to have the Heat at home? Jimmy Butler and crew?
Yep.
I feel like Jason Tatum's starting to figure some stuff out. I don't know who I think I want Boston to go on because they just seem like a team that they've really put it together this last little bit here. How annoying was it watching that? Like, at some point, because they're 148-0 all time, teams that have been up 3-0 in an NBA conference finals situation.
Sounds like about the time.
Like, then why are we doing
percentages,
this?
Change.
Oh, so you're one of those guys.
Yeah.
See, I'm just not. I'm one of those that goes.
Hey, never say never, but never.
But never. I'm saying, listen, I guess the 16 seed upset the number one finally, right?
Yep.
UMBC, rest in peace, Virginia, and Coach Tony Bennett that year. Although they won the Natty next year, right? That's a good way to redeem yourself. Boy, otherwise you'd be. That's the only way to redeem yourself. Otherwise, you're going to be living that thing the rest of your life. So I'm just I was disappointed that we have to watch that that slow burn on that garbage series between Dallas and Golden State. I don't want more games. I need less in that. I don't want more blowouts. I need less. All right. Joining us on the program, he is our BYU insider for KSL Sports, host of Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio. Mitch Harper, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, nothing much, guys. It feels like, you know, football season is just around the corner, so the days of nights having to watch blowout NBA playoff basketball
getting
soon be over, and college football's on the horizon.
All right, I got to ask you a question, because we had your cohort in crime, Matt Biamondi, on last week, and he was trying to convince me that Jaren Hall is a better pro prospect than Zach Wilson.
Oh, no, not at all. No. I honestly, coming into this season, I think that Jaren probably, you know, I think probably a, you know, third round guy, you know, fourth round guy, probably. I think he can definitely work his way up to, you know, maybe. I think what hurts Jaren Hall is that he probably would have been better served in this year's NFL draft class. He could have maybe advocates to be right there with Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett as one of the best prospects because it was such a weak class. I think Jaren, though, is going to have a monster year this season, and I think that lends itself to where he can make a Zach Wilson-type rise, but I don't think he's going to be a top two. He's not going to be a top 10, top 15, not even top 20. I think he could be, in the best-case scenario, back into the first round.
You know, we've kind of looked at this before and gone, okay, I mean, Jaren, the last couple of years has been talking about, yeah, I'm just getting myself ready for, you know, the possibility of trying to get a pro career going. A lot of these guys come in and say that, but he's one of those guys that I feel like has kind of played a little bit into it now, right? I mean, you see these guys that sometimes they say that and you roll your eyes a little bit, but what is it about his game that really kind of translates to that next level? I think sometimes the arm strength, even though he's got that baseball background, I think we looked at sometimes and went, I've seen way too many guys coming back on those deep balls or whatever. But what is it about his game that would be attractive to an NFL scout?
Well, I think that in spring ball, I thought the velocity on his passes, I mean, that the deep ball, it was not short arms. I mean, he was throwing passes, deep balls in spring practice that were tried on the money. There was a lot more accuracy. The way he was throwing the football. And that's a credit to, I think, the work he's put in with guys like John Beck and Dustin Smith. He's been putting in a lot of work with those guys. And I think also Jaren's the type that you talk about maybe making, you know, millions of dollars of an investment into a guy. I think he's a safe bet. I mean, he's a family guy. But he's also committed to his craft. He sacrificed baseball on football and he wants it. And he was also a guy that was patient, too. I mean, you know, he was the backup to Zach Wilson. And you know, he could have easily said, I'm moving on, you know, going to the portal, because that was a thing when he arrived at BYU. But he stuck it out, and now he's going into year two as the face of BYU's offense as the starting QB. So I think there's a lot to like, and I think also his dual threat ability, too. You know, not going to be a run first quarterback at BYU this year. I think a lot of times he'll be labeled that by people that don't follow BYU, him to, you know, be pass first, but and he's got incredible ability to run. Go watch him against Baylor, against a second round draft pick. He's the fastest combine, up to a 56 yard touchdown run against a Big 12 champion. So Jaren's got incredible athleticism, and I think his accuracy and the velocity of his passes again is going to be off the charts this year as well, which I think lends itself to a higher profile as maybe a rising draft stock potentially.
So you on Cougar Tracks podcast, I guess today, you had some predictions on BYU's football season. What are those predictions? Do tell.
Yeah, game by game, you know, with 100 days coming up, and you know, football season, like it's getting there. I mean, you know, because like you guys, I'm getting a little bit fatigued some of these blowout NBA playoff games. So I thought, you know, I'm going to roll out my game by game predictions, and I got the right to change it once it gets closer to the season. But right now, I got BYU at 9-3, and I've got the losses being to Oregon, Notre Dame, and Arkansas. I think those three games, BYU loses. I see this being a season kind of maybe like the Bronco Mendenhall years, where the games against the Liberty and East Carolina, I feel pretty confident that Kalani's gotten to a point where BYU wins those games. I think a couple years ago it felt like, you know, is this a trap game? Is this a game that, you know, Kalani's gonna lose potentially? I think they've elevated their status to that point where they should win those ones. They still have that ability to drop a game. They should. But I think they've stepped up in that regard. I just think Notre Dame defensively is going to be right there with Baylor's, one of the best defenses they face. And I think that's going to be a pro-Notre Dame crowd. And I think Arkansas, too, the quarterback, they bring starting offensive linemen. They upgraded their defensive personnel with the transfer portal. I think Arkansas is a team that BYU seems to have a – get out of the gates 5-0, and then they have this, you know, 2-week lull where they lose to Boise, lose to Baylor. I see something similar like that happening for BYU in October, but I think they're going to get a win over South Florida Open and then Baylor in week two. And I don't think any Cougar fan would scoff at maybe opening the first month of the season going into that Notre Dame game at 4-1.
Refresh our memory on BYU's bowl tie-in this year. Does ESPN have something kind of locked up for them unless they see fit to change it? Or I can't remember what years they have some affiliation already. What's the possibility bowl-wise? And kind of if it's not a 11-1 season, then what's it going to end up being for BYU? Is it going to be one of these independence bowls? Is it going to be a Hawaii bowl? What are we talking here in the postseason?
It's an ESPN at large. So any of the ESPN event bowl games, ESPN could slide BYU into. I would imagine the Hawaii Bowl definitely is an opportunity because BYU enjoyed the trip. You know, if you're not going to go to a great game, you'd much rather go to Honolulu than Shreveport, Louisiana. So I think that, you know, Hawaii Bowl definitely would be in the mix, but it's another Christmas Eve game, and that's not ideal for the fans. But ESPN would slot BYU in one of their own properties. And even, you know, it's tricky, too, with you mentioned, you know, the possibility of a New Year's Six. That's even difficult this year, too, because even if BYU ran the table, you know, that's pie-in-the-sky type stuff, you could see a scenario where they're still going to, like, a Hawaii Bowl because there's very few at-large bids when you kind of break it out in this year with the at-large bids. Pretty much being tied up to conference tie-ins and all the playoff bowls, there's not going to be as many at-large opportunities for BYU when the Rose Bowl's not in the playoff structure and things like that. So not many opportunities from an at-large perspective this year compared to some other years where there's some of the other bowl games in the playoff mix.
Mitch, what are the kind of calendar items that BYU fans should kind of have some piqued interest in here when we're talking about BYU and their media day or kind of other important key dates where you can at least pretend like college football is getting a little bit closer?
Yeah, I mean, so next week's going to be pretty noteworthy, I think. Big 12 AD meetings. I'll actually be down there in Dallas for that event, and that should be quite interesting to see all the movers and the shakers in the Big 12 conference and maybe get an idea of what the future of the league's going to be there. Tom Homo's going to be there. They'll be at the Four Seasons down in Texas. So living the high life. BYU will experience Power 5 living right away with those AD meetings next week. So that should be noteworthy. Hopefully some news items come out of there. BYU summer camps in June. That's where a lot of recruiting goes down, where you'll see a lot more commitments. You're going to see some official visitors coming in, like a Walker Lyons, a four-star tight end from California, Hunter Clegg from American Fork, an outside edge rusher. They're going to be visiting in June. And then you got the BYU Football Media Day, June 22nd. And from there, I mean, then it becomes Big 12 Media Day. And you know, the talk of the newcomers will be interesting. And then before you know it, it's, you know, fall camps getting going late July, early August. So, yeah, there's some key mileposts here coming up for BYU football in the future of BYU and the Big 12 Conference, which I think is still it's just a weird year because I think everyone is just locked into what the Big 12 is going to be, and it's kind of like, you know, just get 2022 over with and move on to the Big 12 era. But there's work to be done this year, and they got a great chance to put together what I think is going to be another 9-win, maybe 10-win season to get some bounces go their way under Kalani Sitake as they close out independence.
Did you tune into Dave McCann and Blaine Fowler yesterday?
Come on, the wise guys. I thought it was a betting situation. I didn't know what to think about it, but apparently it's a BYU thing.
I did not. I'll have to check that out.
Well, it's on Tuesdays. I thought for sure it'd be something you would tune into.
Mitch is tuning in and taking notes. Whatever, they're taking notes off of Mitch, bro. Come on, let's not fool this thing out. Let's make this clear what it is. The BYU insider in this market is Mitch Harper. Come on, let's figure it out. Mitch, thanks for being with us, man. We'll talk to you again next week, especially if you're going to be down in Dallas. We're going to make you do some extra work. Do you get to stay at the Four Seasons Inn?
Actually not. I'll be across the street at La Quinta.
Wow! At the La Quinta!
I will be at the La Quinta, but I'll try to work some way into the golf course and maybe hop on Holmo's cart and have some golf there.
Sure. Brian Santiago will squeeze you in. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I just dialed up Brian and got to force him lined up with Bowlesby.
Yeah,
so
sure.
We'll see you on the link.
Yeah, we'll get out there. You stay at the Four Seasons? Nah, Super 8. We're good. We're fine. We're going to be good. All right, Mitch, we'll talk to you again, man. Safe travels. All right, there you go. Mitch Harper. Stay with us. Unravel continues. 97.5 1280 The Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.